Welcome to this episode of the Biology of Trauma Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. In this episode, I want to teach on an important topic that is either commonly misunderstood or just missed: muscle bracing patterns that have their origins in our attachment style. I am teaching on how to recognize attachment bracing adaptations to answer the one question: how does our attachment create bracing patterns in our body to protect us from pain? Now, this is an important topic because these are bracing patterns that will affect our breath, even our freeze response, our shutting down in the face of certain emotions. And we want to understand if we have bracing patterns and what we can do about them. In this episode, you'll learn how to recognize bracing patterns, which emotions that bracing patterns are protecting us from, how bracing patterns develop during our attachment years to protect our physiology, and the relationship between bracing patterns and the freeze response. I want to start by giving context for attachment bracing adaptations. Attachment is something developed in our early years. It shapes all of our relationships in the future. Bracing, tension patterns and muscle groups throughout our body. Adaptations, the ability of our brain and body to adapt to our environment in order to best survive. Now, attachment is defined by our perception of safety and connection and relationship with another. It determines our ability to feel safe in a relationship while being authentic. When we were a child, attachment meant survival, which can be confusing for us. As a young child, we were often forced to choose between attachment to another for survival and our ability to be authentic to who we are. Whatever the environment, physical and emotional, that we were born into, we adapt to that environment. We either adapt to an attachment that feels safe, predictable, and nurturing, or we adapt to an attachment that feels hurtful, confusing, and unsafe. If you thought attachment was only your psychology, this will be fascinating to you. The body adapts to our environment. And whether secure or insecure attachment, our body will be adapting so that our posture, our muscle tension, bracing patterns are a reflection of our attachment as well. These bracing patterns are designed to protect us from feeling the terror of insecurity when we are young and vulnerable. The body adapts to protect us through these bracing patterns. By bracing, it can cut off some of those body sensations. Our autonomic nervous system adapts to help us survive in relationships and in a world where we constantly feel insecure, afraid, lost, and alone. So this is fascinating that bracing tension in our muscle groups is one way our nervous system protects us from having to feel just how afraid, lost, and alone we feel inside. It protects us from the intensity of that shame and pain because it would be too much. Bracing patterns adapted to keep our body sensations, like shame, manageable, less intense. And as long as the adaptations stay in place, they do their job. And so while they helped us survive, they stay with us. Even as we grow, we may leave our home and family of origin. We may be completely safe and independent and successful, but we still have our bracing patterns. They won't relax. And now they hold us back. They keep us from growing. They keep us from healing. They keep us from love and authenticity because it still does not feel safe. It does not feel safe to express our needs, to connect with another, reach out to someone, to ask for what we want. So this is where we can talk about suppressed and repressed emotions even, a process that can be unconscious to us because our bracing patterns can be so good at what they do, we don't even know they're blocking internal sensations for us. The good news is that we can always adapt. So while we adapted back then, we can still adapt now. Our nervous system is phenomenal at adapting to a new environment. So we can learn to create new experiences for ourselves and adapt to love, life, and safety. With that as a context, let's now jump into the heart of this episode and how to recognize bracing patterns, what they do for us and their relationship with our breath and freeze response. We're going to go into recognizing the bracing patterns. And as we recognize bracing patterns, we can recognize that it starts to leak into other areas of our life so that it's not just showing up in our muscles and our body, but it's showing up on the thought level and then the behavior level. So that as we see that maybe I'm unable or I find it difficult to tolerate waves of emotion. This is one way that I might recognize a bracing pattern. Or maybe I'm noticing that it's hard for me to feel and sit with joy or pleasure. This would be a sign of a bracing pattern that's essentially numbing everything. It can't only selectively numb the uncomfortable. It's going to numb everything. And so as I notice what are my patterns in going through life, this will help me recognize bracing patterns. Or maybe a sadness and grief starts to surface when I relax. Maybe when I go for a massage and my muscles start to relax, I feel that, it's relaxing, but I'm not able to relax all the way. And when I do start to relax, there's emotions that come up. That's because as the bracing patterns ease up and relax, what's underneath those starts to actually surface and we feel those. So that we can have thoughts of, I'm not worth the effort. I'm not worth the time. I'm not worth the money. And so we keep ourselves in this state of stress because I'm not worth it. Or maybe I'm having thoughts of, I'm different. I don't belong. No one really understands me. Those are sensations in the body that our bracing patterns are going to protect us from, so that we can feel it, but we're not going to feel the full intensity of it. Or maybe I'm unlovable. Again, our bracing patterns are going to be protecting us from feeling the intensity of how much we feel that in our body. So that when we have these kinds of thoughts that bring up a sense of constriction and shame, we're not going to be able to just sit with those without having our bracing patterns automatically come in, because these types of thoughts are directly from the attachment pains. And if they were attachment pain and started in early childhood, we would have developed adaptations to that environment that informed us of that. So we will have bracing patterns with every one of the attachment pains that we have. We cannot have an attachment pain and not have developed a bracing pattern at that time. So don't underestimate the power of adaptations from early life to not feel the attachment pain that we experience. That was its purpose at that time. Its whole purpose was to have us not feel the attachment pain or the intensity of that attachment pain. So that, again, this may not even be a conscious memory that we have, but we can notice as things show up in our body. We can notice when our body seems to have a reaction or our body feels something and we don't understand why it's having this reaction. We don't seem to have words for it and it feels confusing and we don't even know how to start to process what's happening in our body. That's because these body memories can be present, but our bracing patterns have blocked that from actually ever coming up to our conscious mind. So what are other thoughts that will stem from bracing patterns and that you could recognize that you have bracing patterns? It is not safe to open up my heart. I am unlovable. It is always up to me. I can't really trust other people. I can't really let my guard down. I don't like being alone, but it is also safer to be alone. And not necessarily physically alone, but emotionally alone. No one is there to support me and have my back. I can't let myself feel, or I might fall apart. Life is hard, and I look forward to when I'm done fighting to survive. Any element of fighting is going to develop into bracing and tension patterns. So what are the behaviors that we will notice? Well, we might notice that we stay busy. We stay busy in order to not relax. And we don't like to relax because we don't like to feel. And as long as I can stay busy, I can keep my thoughts directed on something else other than my body. When I pause, when I get still, when I relax, that's when all of this uncomfortable stuff seems to come up. So I'd rather just stay busy. We have difficulty maintaining healthy long-term intimate relationships. We can maybe do short-term, but the long-term relationships will be harder with bracing patterns. I'm good at taking care of others, but not myself. Different feelings that we can have that stem from bracing patterns. An internal fear that you rarely share with others. You keep that to yourself. You'll share a lot of other stuff, but there's something that you always hold back. And it's some element of a fear that we rarely show or express to others and may never have. A general anxiety, an insecurity about life. Frustrated and disappointed with close relationships. Alone and unsupported. The sadness and grief when we get still and relax. It's not relaxing to relax. And a difficulty with really relaxing all the way. So that we can still feel like, we're still bracing it at some deep level. We're not able to relax all the way. And it's uncomfortable to do that. So of course, we will have physical conditions that we can recognize that stem from bracing patterns. We can have chronic tension in our shoulders and neck. Shoulder pain, neck pain, headaches. We can also have more sports or joint injuries because of just the poor biomechanics as we walk around guarded and in bracing patterns. And it's not the smooth and healthy biomechanics that would actually help prevent injuries. We can then, of course, develop the chronic fatigue from chronic bracing, chronic pain, the metabolic syndromes, weight issues, adrenal fatigue, the digestive issues, sleep issues. These are all things that can have the bracing patterns at their core. And so as we look at all the different ways that we can recognize, this can be signs of bracing patterns. There's a lot there, right? And I'm hoping that we can just use this as information so that we're like the scientists and we're just collecting information, being like, oh, that feels familiar. That sounds familiar. Yeah, I've had that thought run through my head before. And it's just a way for us to become a student of our body, not judging our body or our experience, or needing to attach labels that aren't helpful, or getting into story and narrative that isn't helpful. These are just ways that we can say, I recognize this, I relate to this, and being able to collect that as information that we can then use for good and for our healing process. Not getting caught up in the stories behind why we might have one of those thoughts or why we might do one of those things or have one of those feelings. Those are thoughts that we can let them float down the river. We don't need to chase those. We can just say, yeah, my body is responding to this, but not need to go into the why. So let's go into the actual types of attachment bracing patterns. And with all of the bracing patterns, as they contract, there's always, with all of them, decreased movement. And so with chronic bracing, there is decreased mobility. There is decreased flexibility because we're in a chronic tension pattern. And a lot of the attachment bracing adaptations occur around our, what we call the thoracic cavity or the chest. And so starting from our neck down to our diaphragm, which of course our diaphragm is that bottom end of our thoracic cavity. And it's what controls our breath as that diaphragm moves up and down. But with all of this, we're going to see a decrease in movement. And of course, if you remember what we've talked about with the freeze response, you understand the value of movement, that movement is life. And so the lack of movement helps even move our body into that place of the freeze response and getting stuck there. So shoulder and neck bracing. We've talked about this a little bit. And so just with bracing in our shoulders, this is a way to decrease the sensations coming up from our body through the vagus nerve. And it's a way to titrate or keep those sensations manageable so that we don't fall apart and get overwhelmed. So in bracing of the shoulder muscles, the collarbones come up. So your collarbones are this bone right here on both sides. And when we bring those up, that effectively closes what we call this area, which is the thoracic inlet, which is the inlet for this whole thoracic cavity. And when we close that up, that's when causes increased pressure and it decreases the sensations then and the communication that can flow between those nerves passing through that area. So that this is where all of the sensations coming up from the vagus nerve, the gut and the heart being the strongest ones where it brings in the most communication from those areas to the brain gets closed off, which of course is for those of you who've taken the grief and gut health module, you know about all the stored emotions in our gut, and thank goodness for this bracing pattern that didn't let us feel all of that. And even with the heart, right? Like not having to feel the intensity of the emotions in our gut and our heart is what the shoulder bracing does for us. So with the bones coming up and those shoulders coming up, what happens naturally is that the neck kind of collapses back a little bit. And again, with that collapse of the neck, that also effectively closes off the vagus nerve, but then it's also going to put pressure on the medulla in the brainstem, which is the lowest region of your brainstem that happens to be the place where it controls our breath. So we're going to talk about our breath in a second. But we can also have back bracing. Now, for those of you who've been in an anatomy lab and dissected, you know all of the muscles and the layers of muscles in the back. With the bracing patterns in the back, these are actually the deeper muscles. It's not necessarily the superficial levels, though that can happen as well, but it's the deeper levels. And in between each rib, you have intercostal muscles that connect those ribs. Even those go into a bracing pattern. And what happens, the reason why it's doing that is because back in your back, you have your shoulder, kind of your, how you move your arms. So you actually move your arms from your back muscles, not from your shoulder. And so with the back bracing patterns, that's what then will keep your arms in and closed so that you can protect yourself and also not reach out. Because of course, reaching out takes too much energy. There's not going to be anyone there anyway. So why would we reach out? So your back bracing is more for your arms to tuck them in into a guarded position. And in the process, with all of those muscles contracting, it decreases your flexibility. And so even just turning around, like people who have these types of back bracing patterns, they actually have to turn more of their body around to look behind them than being able to just turn and look behind themselves. And so you can see why injuries start to develop or why people will start to have neck pain or back pain, because these muscles, the deeper muscles, are in a constant bracing and tension pattern that will decrease blood supply, but then also keep us more rigid and keep our arms in tight and guarded for us. So just with that, right? Like, you're going to understand why it will be so helpful to bring in back support from that 21-day journey and being able to get that sense of my back is protected. And with the back protection, I can now open up, because the back bracing is what closes us up. It's what brings everything forward, the collapse, which is also protecting the heart and brings my arms in to close me up. That's what the back bracing patterns do. When I adopted Miguel, I remember that he would sit on my lap and it felt awkward. It felt uncomfortable. And I couldn't figure out why until I was visiting my sister and my mom up in Washington State, took Miguel up there. We visited them and we're sitting in church service, and my nephew Lucas sat on my lap. And when Lucas sat on my lap, his body, his back, of course, like, he's facing forward, right? So he's sitting on my lap, he's facing forward, but his back just kind of bends and curves into my body and he leans back into me. And I'm like, this is what's missing with Miguel. I had never been able to understand and put my finger on it, but Miguel would sit up and he would almost sit up straight. There was no bending of his back to be able to relax back into me. He had very tense back bracing patterns because of his early life experiences. And so that's how it can show up. So even when we are maybe sitting in a chair or sitting on a couch, is it easy for us to just be able to mold our back into that support? Or is it something that we actually have to think about? You're like, okay, relax, 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 relax. Telling ourselves to relax and be able to sit back into something. And is it different with a couch or with a person? Are you able to have that sense of relaxing back, again, back? I can't see back there. So I have to trust that person that they're going to be there for me, that they have my back, that they're not going to hurt me because I can't see them. And so can we relax into that hold of a pillow or a couch? And is it the same? Is it as easy for us to relax back into a person? Or do we notice that's when we have some of these back bracing patterns that come up that we just get to notice, be like, huh, isn't this interesting? Isn't this interesting? And notice that we have some back bracing patterns that we get to work with. So it can show up in how we can relax back into something. Hip flexing. So I talked about this in relationship to what can happen in utero with protecting the stomach. So with the thoracic inlet, that protects the communication coming up. With the back bracing, it protects our heart and brings our arms in and up, ready to fight. But our stomach is still exposed. And so that's what the hip flexor muscles are for. And just like with the back, these are the deeper muscles. They're not always going to be the superficial abdominal muscles that contract, because that's actually not what brings up our legs. What brings up our legs to fold up, kind of bring them up to protect our stomach, is our deeper psoas muscle. And so our psoas muscle is deep in our abdominal cavity. It almost runs up against our spine. That's how deep it is. So it's hard to feel, it's hard to access. And I remember a time when I was in medical school, they had us do a visit to a local massage therapist for kind of like exposure to alternative therapies. And so we went to this massage therapy place. And for whatever reason, this massage therapist was talking about accessing the psoas muscle and how much time it would take to ease through the other tissues, the other muscles and get access to this psoas muscle because it was so deep. But when she did, there was always emotions that came up. And at the time, of course, I was like, oh, how interesting, and never thought about it again until I started studying just the neuroaffective touch and this idea of, wait a second, like those are the bracing patterns that help protect our stomach. And so, of course, when we access that psoas muscle, there's going to be all of the attachment pain associated with that sense of, I'm not safe and I need to bring up my legs to protect my belly. Now, this can happen for a lot of reasons, even down to we just had more time on our back than on our tummy. Because when we are laying on our tummy, we don't need to protect our stomach. Our stomach is protected. It's against the floor. But it's when we are on our back and we're completely exposed that our legs as babies will naturally want to come up to soften our belly and to protect our belly. And so this is how far back this hip flexing bracing pattern can develop. But it really is in this relationship to my belly doesn't feel safe to be exposed. I feel exposed. I feel vulnerable. And I need to protect my belly. And that's really the only way that we have to protect our bellies when we are infants and young children. So how does all of this affect our breath? Well, let's start with the thoracic inlet. So just by pulling up our collarbone and closing off this thoracic inlet, it's now harder to take a deep breath because part of what helps us take a deep breath is that ability to have a pressure difference. But I've already created a pressure difference just by bringing this up. So now I'm having to work harder to create the same pressure difference with each breath. But I'm also, with that little bit of a neck collapse, I'm cutting off the medulla in the brainstem, which is going to make my breath go slower and shallow. Does that sound familiar? And so we have that happening with the shoulder and neck bracing. With our back bracing, when we're closed in and tight, my chest constricts. So here I am, and a deep breath is not going to happen in this position. My breath is not going to be able to expand because expanding would mean opening up, and it's not safe to open up. So I'm going to stay in. I'm going to stay constricted, and my breath is going to become just small and shallow, slow because of the back bracing. Now, with the hip flexing, when those hip muscles come contract and my legs come up, again, that is going to prevent that diaphragm from being able to easily drop into my belly for a deep breath. So that's also keeping my diaphragm stuck, causing the more shallow and slow breathing. So all of these bracing patterns will have this impact on the breath. Now, when I'm constricted, sometimes I can go into a rapid and shallow breath, but the breath will always be shallow and its default will be slow and shallow because of I've made it actually harder, just the mechanics of breathing to have a deep breath. And so all of that, the bracing patterns and the breath then influence our freeze response because now we're going to be lack of movement. We know that thwarted movement is one of the triggers for the freeze response. I've created thwarted movement because of my bracing patterns and bringing in rigidity and chronic tension. A muscle can't move when it's already tight. It needs to be relaxed so it can tighten and relax and tighten and relax. But if it's always tight, there's no movement. And this is, again, where we also start to decrease the blood flow to those muscles. And so we've got this decreased movement, decreased breath, sense of insecurity, and we're going to be going into the freeze response. So the bracing patterns always, always happen in combination with that freeze response. The bracing patterns can be a way to sometimes feel like we are kind of in fight mode and also be this sense of I'm in freeze mode, but my muscles are still chronically tense. When we are all the way in the freeze mode, even though the muscles will tend to just go flat, And that's why it's not the superficial muscles that usually have the bracing patterns. It's the deeper muscles that still stay in that tight pattern while everything else just kind of becomes loose and heavy and not wanting to move. So as we, the more bracing patterns that we notice that we have, we will just, again, have that information that I'm going to have a stronger freeze response with more of the bracing patterns that I notice. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. If you would like to know more about attachment and bracing, then I have resources for you in the show notes. You will find links to some free guides that I have, one of them being an attachment trauma roadmap, a free guide that will teach you how your nervous system affects your ability to form secure attachments and the roadmap, the path to earning a secure attachment. I also will have my attachment pain quiz. You can take this quiz and find out your predominant attachment pain. There are 6 different attachment pains, and this will give you a starting place for where to start working on your attachment insecurities. I will also have a guide for the chronic freeze response. If you have an insecure attachment, well, then you also have a chronic functional freeze, and I would want you to have tools to be able to work with that. If you're looking for tools, a practical biology repair tool is going to be magnesium. So I have a Trimagnesium Power. This is a chelated version of magnesium. You want to take chelated for best absorption. This has 3 different forms of chelated magnesium. And when we have been with chronic tension and bracing patterns in our muscles from decades ago, we need to help bring in biology repair tools. Magnesium is a supplement to consider to help with muscle relaxation and to replenish all the magnesium we have used up in bracing for decades. For those with early childhood stress and trauma, magnesium is definitely a supplement that I frequently recommend. Related podcast episodes, you will want to look at episode 48 on how to heal bracing and hypervigilance. This was with one of my biology of trauma professionals, Kat Dillon. Episode 69 was an episode where I taught on how attachment shapes our biology and behavior. And episode 73 is on the impact of early attachment shocks and what to do. I've got a few related YouTube videos on attachment development and how we lose a sense of safety, as well as how our body adapts to dysregulation in order to survive. Finally, I am here to save you time and money by bringing you practical information that will help you accelerate the trauma healing journey. So take a moment to subscribe or leave a review if you've already subscribed. Your reviews and feedback are how I know to improve this podcast, bring you great content, and help you find information that will change your life. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. Until next episode, lots of love.